So good to be back together again. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, and I'm reading verses 11 to 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. And hear now the word of God. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There shall they lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. And I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And may God add to understanding this holy word. Well, this has certainly been an unusual time for all of us. This is our first time meeting together here in public since March the 15th. Can you believe that? It's been since March the 15th. And of course, there are many things that have happened during that period of time. I'm sure all of you have experienced certain changes. Even getting ready to come here to church this morning, I'm sure some of you had a little difficulty in putting everything back together again because we're kind of out of sync, you know, and we've also gone through a lot of personal changes during this period of time. I read where one man was blaming his wife. He was saying, you know, I don't know what's wrong with our dryer, but my clothes keep getting smaller and smaller. And then he said, I suddenly realized that I was blaming the wrong thing. I was blaming the dryer, and it should have been the refrigerator. So. You know, back years ago, when I was much younger, when I was about 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere in there, we lived in more or less in a town, and yet we were surrounded by country. We were surrounded by farms and whatever. And from time to time, we would go out to our uncle's farm. My uncle Paul had a number of acres, and on this farm, he had cattle and he had sheep and chickens. And, you know, so it was a chance for us to actually get out into a farm setting. And we had a cousin who was years older. He was probably about 14 or 15 at that time, Cousin Donnie. And Cousin Donnie used to love to show us the animals on the farm, and he loved to play tricks on us during that time. So one of the things that he told us was, you know, what's really fun is to get on the backs of some of these animals and ride them. Well, they'll let you do that. And, of course, being 9 or 10, we were dumb enough to believe him, and so he brought over this ram, and he said, now this ram will let you ride on him. All you have to do is get on his back. I'll hold him. And so, of course, I was the one that had to do it, and so I got on the back of this ram, and while he was holding it, and he said, now just hold on to his fur, his it's not fur, but you know what I'm saying, his hair, held on to it, just hold on tight. And so all of a sudden, he let it go. And I learned two things that day. I learned, number one, sheep don't like to be ridden. And I also learned that they know how to show you. That was a bucking bronco right there that I got a hold of. You know, and I've also often wondered, thinking back on that, why it is that God, in his word, refers to us as sheep. Over and over again, this sheep and shepherd theme is used in Scripture? Well, I've heard some people say that, you know, it's because of the negative things about sheep. You know, sheep tend to get very dirty, and their wool gets dirty. And sheep are also stupid. They'll lay down right next to food, and they won't even eat it. So sheep are dirty, and they're stupid, and they come up with all these things. You know, that none of that is true. None of that's true. If you've ever been around sheep, you know that they're anything but stupid. In fact, they're very intelligent. Sheep are very intelligent. They're also very loyal. They're also very loving. They're also very giving. The Lord had definite reasons for why he called his people his sheep, and they were not negative reasons. But one thing about sheep is that they're not pack animals. You know, most packs of animals, like dogs or wolves or whatever, that run in packs, always have what's called an alpha. Could be an alpha male or an alpha female, but it's somebody that the rest of the group will follow. Well, sheep don't have an alpha. They don't have an alpha. They have to have a shepherd. They need a shepherd that will lead them. And the shepherd develops a relationship with the sheep. And like we talked about last week, the sheep hear his voice and they follow after him. Well, in order to protect his sheep, the Lord appointed shepherds over Israel. Here's the fact: God owns the sheep. God's people belong to him. He paid for them. You know, if you have your Bibles right there, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. And it says the same thing in chapter 7, verse 23, but it says this: "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Over and over again, the Lord is saying, you have been purchased, you have been redeemed, you have been bought, and you belong to me. You're mine. God owns his sheep, but he appointed shepherds to take care of his sheep. Now these, they're not the owners. The sheep don't belong to them. The sheep belong to God, but God has shepherds that watch over. Sometimes we call them under shepherds. They're the ones who are under the owner. They're under God, but they're shepherding the flock of God. Now, I want to look closer at that, first of all. And we read some of this in the scripture reference this morning in Ezekiel chapter 34, and there are a number of verses in Ezekiel 34 that speak about the sheep and the shepherds. But who were these shepherds that God appointed over Israel? Well, over time, they came to be referred to as leaders or judges or kings. They were people that were over God's people who had responsibility. They had to act faithfully to God in their dealings and in their rulings over Israel. They were the ones who would minister in God's name. God would use them as his shepherds. But the problem was that the shepherds lost sight of what their responsibilities were. And they began to think that somehow they were the owners of the sheep. And so they began to lord it over the sheep and to rule them in defiance of what God had said. I want to read here Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. This comes just before the passage that we read earlier. And it says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? Do you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool? You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered.'" Now this is a condemnation that God brings against those that were given the responsibility to rule over his people. And he gives, as a result of this, he gives a judgment against them. And this is found in Ezekiel 34, verse 10. And he says, "Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them. So you can see that God felt that the shepherding task was extremely important, especially over his people. And there were those who were lifted up into positions of authority, who abused that authority, and began to do things that the owner of the sheep had not required of them, and it was done for their own personal reasons, their own personal gain. And as a result, God stood against those shepherds of Israel. We see this is the backdrop to what is probably the best known psalm in the whole Bible, and that's Psalm 23. When David, who by the way was a shepherd and who understood how sheep interact, he understood the loyalty and the faithfulness and the loving characters of sheep. David knew all that, and he's the one that said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd." Isn't it interesting the number of individuals that God called into his service and prior to their serving had them be shepherds? Look at Moses. Moses was a shepherd. He shepherded the flocks of Jethro for 40 years before God called him to lead his people. David was a shepherd. He had the gentleness and the sweetness of character that the sheep would follow him. And by the way, that should also tell you something about Moses. Whatever we may think about Moses, Moses must have been a very kind person, or the sheep never would have followed him for those 40 years. In fact, it was Moses himself who wrote, "For Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth." Now, he didn't get a medal for humility at that point, but you know, he made that statement. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. This is the backdrop of Psalm 23. I'm going to take those sheep away from you, and I will be their shepherd, says the Lord. Now, how about the Lord as our shepherd? You know, God is often over Scripture, throughout Scripture, refers to himself as our shepherd. Not just Jesus, but God himself, God the Father, says, "For I am their shepherd." And it says this in our text here in verse 15. He said, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down," declares the Lord God. I will be their shepherd. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, also refers to the same thing. It says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, 'The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day.'" Here's a reference again of God being the shepherd over his people. But David writes in Psalm 23, "For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And in this psalm, Psalm 23, David gives us an outline of his relationship to God. First of all, he talks about provision. When he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I will not be in need. I will not be in want over this time." David also said, "Once I was young, but now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And that's because those who are faithful and draw near to the Lord, God will provide. Jesus said the very same thing. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." And what are all those things that Jesus was talking about? He was talking about the birds of the air. He was talking about the lilies of the field. He was talking about food, and he was talking about clothing and shelter. "And all those things will be added unto you if you seek first my kingdom." He was talking there about provision. In Psalm 23, David also talked about protection, how the Lord with his strong arm would protect and watch over his people. He would protect us during times of emergency. He would protect us during times of famine. He would protect us during times of pestilence, like COVID-19. He promises to protect us. He also promises to give us peace. And that is not the absence of conflict, but peace within the conflict, so that we don't have to be in fear. We have one that we can trust. You know, when the flock came under attack, it was the shepherd's responsibility to defend the flock. We are God's flock. And when times of emergency come up, times when the enemy stands against us, God himself becomes our protector because he is our shepherd. He's the one who watches over us. And you know, in Psalm 23, David hits a note, strikes a note, a chord in all of us. You know, he describes here a longing that's in the heart of all men and women. And that's a longing to be at peace, a longing to be protected, a longing to be provided for. Let's face it, when we're looking forward to leaving this earth and going to heaven, we're not thinking in terms of what am I going to have to do in heaven to provide for myself? What am I going to eat for that eternity that I'm up there? What am I going to wear? You know, we worry about those things on earth. But when we think about heaven, we're not concerned about those kinds of things. We're not worried about it. I remember that one woman in our church that said, I just know that when I show up at the pearly gates, they're going to ask me if I brought a casserole. But there's provision and there's protection and there's peace. And David talks about this longing that's in all of our hearts, a longing to be with our Lord, the one who will watch over us for all of eternity. And you know, all of this depends on relationship. The shepherd couldn't lead his sheep unless he had a relationship with them. And the sheep wouldn't follow the shepherd unless they had a relationship with him. And the truth is, before God, before Jesus as our great shepherd could be our shepherd, we have to have a relationship with him. He must first be our Savior before he can be our shepherd. But you see, we're told in Scripture that we've been bought with a price. And the price was the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. In order for us to have that kind of relationship, we have to surrender to him and submit to him, to call upon him. And the key to all of this is that personal relationship that we have with Christ. You know, we're told in Scripture, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. I know that right now we're in a situation where we're in a lockdown phase. We're exercising social distancing. But there's a big difference between social distancing and spiritual distancing. We can't distance ourselves spiritually from God or from one another, because that's the way God created the body of Christ to be. We need to have that fellowship with one another. It's essential in our lives. It's one of the reasons why people all over the nation today, this very day, are breaking the rules and they're going out and they're meeting with one another in parks or on beaches or in other parts of society. They're meeting together. And they're doing this because of a great need that's been created within them. It's part of our human makeup. And the more people tell us not to do that, the greater the desire becomes to do it, because it's a need. And that need has to be met. We draw near to God. God draws near to us. It's so essential. And you know, I just want to speak about this one thing. And those of you that know me know that I'm not a political person. That's not my thrust. My desire is to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. But I think that there comes a time when we have to remind ourselves of who our shepherd really is, of who it is that we follow. The truth is, Donald Trump is our president. He's not our shepherd. Roy Cooper is our governor. He's not our shepherd. Esther Mannheimer is our mayor. here in Asheville, but she's not our shepherd. And we only have one shepherd. We only have one person that's paid the price to call us his own. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We listen to his voice and we follow after him. And I know that people may say, well, now we have to be in obedience to all the local regulations. And my feeling is we need to do our very best to comply with every regulation that's been given to us until they violate the commands of our shepherd, that we have to follow after him. In Acts chapter 5, the Sanhedrin, those who were in positions of power, told Peter and John to leave and to not preach again about this person, Jesus Christ. And they went right out and they began preaching again about Jesus Christ. And they were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. And they said, we thought we told you not to do this anymore. And they responded by saying, whether we obey you or we obey the Lord, God, that's for you to decide. But as for us, we will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Now, were they being disobedient? They were exercising their freedom to do what God had called on them to do. And I feel like, as God's people, we have a responsibility not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Now, obviously, it has to be salted with common sense. There are things that we shy away from just from a standpoint of common sense. We don't tempt God in these things. If we have physical problems, if we're suffering from physical difficulties or whatever, this is not the time to go out and throw social distancing caution to the wind. That's not the time. So we have to exercise common sense as we do this, but it's essential that we listen to our shepherd and we follow him. He's calling us together as his people to stand for what we believe. He is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are grateful and thankful that we have a shepherd who loves us, a shepherd who watches over us and who calls us to be his. Lord, we're in a time right now where things are very confusing, and we ask that we could hear your voice and follow after you. Lord, as a church, we don't want to be in rebellion. We want to be honoring to you and to lift up your name. So, Father, I pray and ask this morning that by your hand and by your Spirit that you would lead us as our shepherd to do and to say those things that bring glory to you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.